The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
Welcome to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine, proudly filling in for Leslie Marshall. We got a new Congress. Got a new Congress out there. They just started today. The House of Representatives controlled by the Republicans. The Senate still controlled by the Democrats. And I got to say, I was struck by the amazing hypocrisy and contradictions of this new Republican Congress. On everything from health care to the deficits to transparency to jobs, you name it, they contradict themselves. And it got me to thinking, who do they think they're fooling? They're definitely not fooling me, but hey, maybe they're fooling you. One of the things I like about hosting Leslie Marshall's show is we do get our share of Republicans, and I want to encourage Republicans to call in and explain to me these contradictions that I don't understand. Let's begin. Let's start with health care. Now, the Republicans ran their whole campaign saying that the Congress should focus on jobs. Jobs, 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 not health care. Now, whether Republican policies help jobs, that's another contradiction. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's just talk about health care for a minute. Now, instead of helping jobs or the economy, the first thing they're going to do after reading the Constitution, and I'll get to that in a minute, the first thing they're going to do is try to repeal health care. Now, of course, it has no chance of success. It won't even come to a vote in the Senate. But I thought their focus was jobs. So after spending a year and a half, debating health care and going through every single detail of a long and complex compromise, now the Republicans are just going to repeal it. Repeal and replace, they say. They're going to get rid of it, and then they're going to replace it with... They don't know. Something really good, just really, really good. But they don't really know what it is. We do know, according to the Congressional Budget Office, that if they were to successfully repeal health care reform, it would increase the budget deficit by $230 billion. Because one of the incredible secrets of health care reform is that it saves the taxpayer money. It cuts spending. It raises taxes. It cuts the deficit, which Republicans used to say they cared about. So the Republicans, get this. This is hilarious. So they come in. They claim their goals to cut the deficit. And in fact, they even institute a new policy. Right? The Democrats had pay-as-you-go. The Democrats' policy was if you have a new program, you got to pay for it. We may remember that back in George Bush's time, he had a $1 trillion war or two, didn't pay for it, and had a $4 or $6 trillion tax cuts, and didn't pay for those. But because he ran up a huge deficit, the deficit that we still suffer from today. So the Republicans have said, as their new rules, that they are going to say that you can't have any new spending for any new programs unless you cut some other program. But you can cut taxes as much as you want and raise the deficit as much as you want. As far as Republicans are concerned, you can just make taxes zero and have us go into debt forever. In fact, they may even want the United States to default on the debt. We'll get to that, too. I got so much to discuss today. I want to discuss the reading of the Constitution. We're going to get to that today. We're going to talk about their crazy ideas on the deficit, on unions, John Boehner and lobbyists and jobs. And I got a really full agenda today. But let's go on back to health care for a moment here. So the Republicans' new rule is that you can't get rid of something that increases the deficit unless you pay for it, particularly a spending program. So what do they want to do? They want to repeal health care. Guess what that cost? $230 billion. How will they make it up? Well, they declared an exception to their rule. The first day they're in power, they're already breaking their own rules. it'll be an exception. We can increase the deficit when it comes to health care, just like they can increase the deficit when it comes to tax breaks for millionaires, mega millionaires, and billionaires. That increased the deficit by some $140 billion, and that was just in 2 years. Now, you know, President Obama signed on to the compromise, and I've complained about that. So I'm not saying it's entirely the Republicans' fault. But the real question is, okay, so they say they're there to cut the deficit, and under Bush, they change us from the greatest surplus in American history under Bill Clinton to the greatest deficits in American history under George Bush, mostly for wars that were unpaid for and for tax breaks that were unpaid for. Okay, so the Democrats come in power in the midst of a recession, which also increases the deficit, and, you know, I think we all know why, because there's less receipts coming in and there's more payments going out because people are poorer, right? So you got to pay unemployment and disability and more Medicaid and things like that and less tax money coming in. So that's the cause of the current deficit. I think we all know that, and you know, stimulus package to fix the Bush Great Depression, things like that. So now the Republicans come in, and the first thing they're going to do is make the deficit worse. In the lame duck Congress, what do they insist on? $140 billion just going to multimillionaires, right? People who have more than, I mean, people who earn more than $250,000, I was willing to say people who earn more than a million, but the vast majority of people who earn more than $250,000 a year, and they've got several million dollars. So the first thing they're going to do is they're going to increase our debt to China and make sure that all of us pay. Probably they want to cut our Social Security, our Medicare, they won't say how. But we're going to have to sacrifice Social Security so that someone who's super rich gets super richer. All right. Then the next thing they're going to do is they're going to cut the they're going to increase the deficit by getting rid of health care. Interestingly, the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, which is cited by Republicans when they like what they say. These are a bunch of accountants. They don't work for either party. The Congressional Budget Office not only said that the cost of repealing health care is $230 billion in the first 10 years. By the way, in the first 20 years, it's $1.5 trillion to get rid of health care reform that the Republicans want to add to the deficit. $1.5 trillion. But CBO also said, the Congressional Budget Office, that it will cost Americans more. Americans will be paying more for health care if health care reform is repealed. And again, Republicans have no ideas to replace it with. So let's talk about what would happen. And again, I know it's not going to happen. I know it's purely symbolic, but the Republicans claim to believe in this stuff. So what would happen if healthcare reform were actually repealed? Well, the deficit increases $1.5 trillion. Nice. Everyone's healthcare goes up even more than it's gone up in the past. Great. If you have a pre-existing condition, you won't get healthcare. In fact, you can pay year after year after year, get sick, and then the healthcare company says goodbye. Now, according to healthcare reform, they can't do that. But the Republican plan is you pay, you pay, you pay, you pay, you get cancer, you're thrown off the program, and you lie dying in the street. Or, I guess, go into bankruptcy. And that's another issue I want to discuss. I got so much to discuss the next 3 hours. I want to know from Republicans out there what their healthcare plan is. Because if somebody is dying and can't afford health care, and I know Republicans don't want a mandate, don't want to require you to have health care, fine. So what are their solutions? A, let the person die, and hopefully, you know, they could put themselves in a trash can, because otherwise if you lay dying in the street, that causes disease. And, you know, if you lie in the street, you know, people might have car accidents. So just put yourself in a trash can and die. Like, that's one option. Option A. Option B is to do the current system, which is go to the emergency room, be treated, and have all taxpayers pay for it. I thought Republicans didn't want taxpayers to pay for someone else's health care, which, you know, but no, make us all pay for it. And then when there's a real emergency, and, you know, of course, people don't know when to use emergency rooms. After all, they may not be that sick. So a guy goes in and clogs up the emergency rooms. That's the way it exists now. You ever tried to go to an emergency room? People without health care clog it up because they can't get health care. Well, that was going to change in the new law. 40 million people get health care. That's out of luck. Is that the solution? Clog up our emergency rooms and pay for it with higher rates for the taxpayers? Because let me tell you something. Heart drugs, you know, take a pill once a month, $100 maybe a month. It's a lot cheaper than $100,000 for a quintuple heart bypass surgery, don't you think? But again, the Republicans have never been about saving money. It's all about making the poor suffer. That's their goal, I guess. Oh, also make sure that children aren't covered. You know, blame the shiftless 22-year-old who's poor and can't afford health care. Okay, I get it, Republicans, but you're going to blame the 6-year-old with leukemia? What's the 6-year-old girl with leukemia? What has she done wrong? Why does she deserve to die in the richest country on earth? Republicans? Why does she deserve to die? And if she's not going to die, who's going to pay for it? Because health care reform pays for her or allows her to be under her parents' plan. And under your system, she dies. Oh, I know the Republican answer. The churches will save her. Well, the churches aren't saving her. If you get the churches to save her, we wouldn't need health care reform. 40,000 Americans a year die from lacking health insurance. 40,000 Americans a year, according to a Harvard study, neutral study. That's more than 3,000 a month. That's a 9/11 every month. Every month, September 11th occurs, 3,000 Americans needlessly die because they don't have health care insurance. What else will happen if it's repealed? Let's see. Well, caps go away. Lifetime caps, right? The idea, I mean, the donut hole. Remember the seniors? They're getting their donut hole covered. That goes away. Small businesses. Now, here's something that's very interesting. Businesses were helped by this health care reform bill. That's why they supported it, right? If you have a small business, a lot of people don't even know the provisions of the plan. If you have a small business, you have under 50 employees, you can get 35 to 50% of your costs paid. That's good for small business because they're a lot of the ones covering health care. So costs go up. Our deficit goes up. What happens if health care is repealed? I understand health insurance profits go up. I get that. They're raising their premiums. It goes up. But I guess it's ideological. I guess that's what it is. It's Republicans just don't believe that we should take care of each other. We talked about this when I did the show before the new year, right? To the great biblical question, am I my brother's keeper? God says yes. Republicans say no. They just don't believe that we should look out for our fellow man. And again, it's against Christianity, and it's against Judaism, it's against Islam, it's against every known religion that I know of, this idea of don't help your fellow man. But it is the heart of the new conservative philosophy, and I don't see every Republican shares it, but I don't know many Republicans who don't. Ah, I got so much to talk about. How it is that they are coming after our Social Security and Medicare, how they're going and raising the deficit, how they're attacking unions. We have got to make sure these things are said because there's not that much radio out there. There's not that much TV out there. There's not people out there who are telling the truth, letting Americans know how it is. And so I'm doing my best. And if you want to call in and share with me what you think, you know the number. It's 888-653-7543. 888-653-7543. We'll be right back with Omar from Portland, Oregon, and the rest of your calls right after this.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine, proudly guest hosting for Leslie Marshall. I do like Leslie's audience. I got to say, y'all are, I mean, whether Democrat or Republican, got a lot of interesting things to say. And so whether you agree or disagree, I always encourage people to call 888-653-7543. I was just amazed by all the incredible hypocrisy of the new Republican Congress, right? You have the House comes in. And they were complaining, the Republicans, the Democrats didn't allow us amendments. The Democrats didn't allow us amendments because under the rules of the House, the majority party can allow amendments or not. And the Democrats had many open rules, but they also had closed rules without amendments, which, by the way, when I worked in Congress and the Republicans were in power back in the early O's, the Republicans almost always had closed rules. They never allowed amendments. So the Democrats came in, they didn't allow amendments. So the new Republican Party comes in and says, we're going to allow amendments. We're going to allow transparency. John Boehner said it. He said it in his opening remarks. We're going to have amendments. Great, the Democrats said. They clapped. And so the first bill of the day, health care repeal, no amendments, closed rule. The very first bill. You think if they're going to break their rules, they could do it on the second bill? No. The very first bill. They said we're going to cut spending, and their very first bill increases the deficit by $230 billion over 10 years and $1.5 trillion over 20 years. They said they're going to have transparency in government. And yet, they're fighting the Democratic plan to end in the Senate anonymous holds, to bring democracy, to, in other words, to allow amendments in the Senate, and also to reduce the impact of the filibuster. They're fighting all of that. And God knows they hate transparency in elections. The thing they most want is for anonymous donors to say whatever they want, because we all know that there's nothing Americans believe in more than foreign dictators controlling American elections, or multinational corporations, for that matter. Omar from Portland, welcome to the show. Oh, are you there, Omar?
Yeah, are you there, Mark?
I am here. Thanks for calling in. You say that we should have expected this health care repeal.
We all knew the Republicans didn't like anything that the Democrats could achieve.
Right.
Because they didn't like it because they couldn't achieve. What did they achieve in the years they were in power? Absolutely nothing.
They gave us two wars. They gave us massive deficits. They gave us the biggest deficits in American history. They ruined the economy. They helped the banks and people gamble with $60 trillion. What do you mean they didn't achieve anything? They brought us to massive unemployment. They achieved a lot, Omar.
Yeah, but it was the wrong direction.
You didn't say which direction. So
I mean, they said also that they created jobs. Yeah, for countries overseas, not for this country.
Actually, it's fascinating. If you look at George Bush's record, now, for example, Bill Clinton in his 8 years created 22 million jobs. George Bush, if you take the amount just until Obama's president, barely created a million. But if you look at the fact that he had a trend going, we had actually 700,000 jobs lost a month. Because Republicans refused to do a stimulus package in their lame duck before President Obama became president. So November we lose 700,000, December we lose 700,000, January we lose 700,000, and then the stimulus package chips in and it starts going, we lose 500,000, 400,000, 300,000. If you look at all the amount caused by George Bush's policies, there's a net loss of jobs over 8 years.
Of course.
You know,
of course, you know what's going to happen under Bush,
Yeah, it's one of the things that actually I want to get to later on in the broadcast is this crazy Republican lie, just this amazing notion that giving money to rich people creates jobs, which I don't even think they believe in. Maybe they do, but we're going to talk about it later on.
They probably do because they've said it so many times. They say, when you repeat a lot of stuff, you start to believe in yourself.
I guess, Omar, you're right, though, that it creates jobs overseas because that's mostly where multinational corporations are going. That's, frankly, where most rich, very rich people are investing. They don't invest in America. They invest overseas.
For the taxes. They don't have to pay taxes.
It's an amazing world we live in. Hey, I got to take a break, but I want to thank you for your call. And we'll be right back with more of your calls. 888-653-7543. We'll be right back after this.
Hey. Leslie Marshall. Real people. Real life. Real talk. 888-6-LESLIE. Want to listen to Leslie with zero commercials? Become a podcast subscriber today. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
You ever seen those cartoons in the newspaper where you're supposed to spot all the differences between the two cartoons? I guess it's for kids. I don't know. I enjoy kind of like, oh, no, there's an extra line there or something. Well, how many contradictions can you spot in the new Republican Congress? Okay, they say they're going to have a rule that reduces the deficit. And the first thing they do in the lame duck is increase the deficit by $140 billion for the rich. And first thing they do, repeal health care, increase the deficit $1.5 trillion. They say that they're going to allow amendments. And the first thing they do is don't allow amendments. They say they want transparency in government, but they refuse to pass an act to let the American people know who's financing the elections. They say that they want to cut the deficit, but they raise the deficit. They say that they don't want, I've heard Republicans say they don't want Americans with pre-existing condition to be denied health care. First thing they do, deny health care to people with pre-existing conditions. They say that jobs matter more than health care, but they don't do anything to focus on jobs. They say that contracts are inviolate, but the first thing they want to do is violate union contracts. They say that Social Security and Medicare won't be protected. First thing they want to do, cut Social Security, cut Medicare. They say they care about the economy. They care about our national standing in the world. First thing they want to do is prevent us and make us default on our debt, something that George Washington didn't do in the Revolution, something that Abraham Lincoln didn't do during the Civil War. Great idea. Have us default on our debt. You want to see us now finance our debt in the future? You want to see a bunch of countries no longer trust American bonds? How many contradictions? How many ways? Joe Miller in Alaska. Have you seen his silly claim? How did the Alaska court, by the way, find in favor of the write-in vote of Murkowski, Senator Murkowski, Lisa Murkowski? Well, they found that anything that is seen as an intent to vote for Murkowski counts. You don't have to spell Murkowski right. You can spell it M-O-U, you know, whatever. As long as it's clear you want to vote for Murkowski, she gets your vote. And that makes perfect sense. Joe Miller, you lose. But have you ever noticed that that's the exact opposite of the way the Supreme Court ruled in Bush v. Gore, which we just suffered the 10-year anniversary of? Right? If you count all the votes and you see who intended what, obviously Gore won the most votes in Florida. There are votes in Florida. I'll never let this go, ever. There are votes in Florida where people circled Gore's name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. There are votes in Florida where people marked the ballot, circled Gore's name, and because they wrote, they both marked the ballot and circled Gore's name, that was counted as a double vote, and those votes weren't counted. Even though it was obvious the person wanted to vote for Gore. But for Murkowski, you can misspell her name and it's fine. The point is that Republicans follow the law when doesn't matter. When it's Murkowski, one Republican versus another Republican. But, not when it matters to the presidency. How many contradictions? Just look at the fact that Republicans read the Constitution on the floor. Now, no one holds the Constitution in greater reverence than I. I have been carrying it in my pocket since law school. If you've seen me on TV, on Fox, on CNBC, MSNBC, wherever you see me, you've seen me many times whip out that Constitution and school Bill O'Reilly or whomever else I'm talking to. I am a strict constructionist. I have always been a liberal strict constructionist. I believe we have to follow the words of the Constitution. I believe in crazy stuff like that person in the 14th Amendment refers to a person and not a corporation, which is nowhere found in the Constitution. Crazy stuff. I'm a strict constructionist. I believe a person has, a brain, arms, legs, a heart, and not a corporate board running them. How many contradictions? They complain about judges overturning things that they don't like, and yet they support a court that constantly overturns the most judicially active court ever. Just look at the snow from last week. You remember Chris Christie was down in Disneyland while New Jersey suffered from the snow. Bloomberg didn't do a good job. Look, I realize it's hard to clean the snow. But Republicans say they don't want government in their lives. They don't want government in their lives. And then they say, where the heck is the government when you need them? And Republicans obviously aren't there. Chris Christie, he's got to take care of his kids in Disneyland. Screw New Jersey. It's amazing contradictions, right? We don't want the government. We don't want the government. Where's the government when we need them? And they talk about returning the government to the people. Did you notice? You probably even missed this. A little obscure. They changed the name of a subcommittee, the Financial Services Committee. It used to be called Subcommittee of Commerce, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And what did the Republicans do? They removed consumer protection. It's now the Subcommittee of Commerce and Trade, Manufacturing. They got rid of consumer protection because we all know that there's nothing more harmful the government can do than protect consumers from fraud. We all know fraud's a good thing. What does fraud do? It takes money from people who are tricked and gives it to massive multinational corporations. Republicans love fraud, I guess, because they certainly don't love consumer protections. They like the American people, but only if people includes corporations, I guess. How many contradictions? Can you count the ways? Bob from Brooklyn, help me out here. How many contradictions can you count here?
Howdy.
Howdy,
well, I
Bob.
Got a couple.
Okay. Which ones do you have?
I got one comment about health care, one about the deficit. But, you know, Lindsey Graham holds the record for talking out of both sides of his mouth. Now, there's this new congressman, a Republican, I guess Stephen King. He's talking about the health care.
Can he write some novels?
Of all of it. He wants to scrap the whole thing in total.
Right.
On the other hand, some of the other Republicans are saying, well, we don't want to get rid of it. We just want to revise it or fix it. Now, here's what's driving me crazy.
Okay.
I would benefit by the non-profit health care exchanges, the co-ops. They're
sure.
private. Okay? There's like 16 million people who pay their own health insurance, as I do, out of their own pocket.
I do too.
And then there's like about another 40 million or so that are not covered.
Right.
Okay. Last spring, when the whole health care debate first came up, it's on record, it's on videotape, Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, the issue was the public option. They says, we don't want the public option, where the government's going to take over health care. So they were asked, both of them, what would you support as an alternative to the public option? They both said we would support the private health care co-ops. Which would
right,
be
these
private.
Exchanges. It was a Republican idea. John McCain supported it in the campaign.
Yeah,
it's
no,
just that when it came to the vote, he was against it. He flipped.
Yeah, the government would just have to give some seed money. It wouldn't cost the government anything. But here's the thing. Once the Democrats took the public option off the table, both of them, again, on the Sunday morning programs, McConnell and Boehner, again, they were asked, well, okay, the public option is off the table. Would you support the nonprofit health care exchanges, private co-ops?
Right.
They both said no. They did a complete 180,
right.
And nobody holds them accountable. This Bob Schieffer is a Washington insider. He's a disgrace. Okay? And now, can I...
Well, the one thing I tell you, I agree with you. They haven't held them accountable for this thing. One thing about Schieffer, though, that I got to give him credit for, is he did hold Boehner's feet to the fire in getting him to admit that if it came to tax cuts for 98% of us or his friends, the multimillionaires, he would actually support tax cuts for the 98% of us. The Democrats didn't capitalize on that. I don't know why. I don't accept why. But Schieffer did get that, so he's not a complete disgrace. But go
one
ahead.
Other quick thing about
yeah.
the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the Republicans, for a long time, ever since Ronald Reagan, they've been in favor of high deficits because
right.
they use the expression defunding the left. This way the Democrats can't support social programs. Okay.
Right.
They can't get away with that anymore because the teabag is the kind of holding them accountable. They
right.
have to
Dick Cheney said famously, deficits don't matter.
Yeah. They have to at least give lip service. They want to close the deficits. Now, on taxation, again, keep in mind the Republicans always have it in their game plan to have a so-called flat tax, which would eliminate a lot of deductions, which would benefit working-class people. So they actually want to raise taxes on a lot of people. They would raise the lowest tax bracket from 10% to 17%. The exemptions would be eliminated. That's going to raise taxes on people.
Right.
And also, they're always in favor of this so-called or the national sales tax, which they're calling a fair tax. So they want to raise taxes. But
they do.
Democrats,
they also want to get rid of the homeowner's interest deduction.
Yeah, the Democrats are letting them get away with this, though.
Well, I'll tell you, let's let them, I mean, they've been in power, what, 2-3 days now? I say let them lay out their own rope. I mean, I think they're already showing the country, including the people in the middle who voted for them, what hypocrites they are, right? They say they believe in transparent government, they don't. They say they believe in cutting the deficit, they don't. I mean, let's just go one by one and let them hang themselves. I'll tell you this. Nothing's going to happen in the next 2 years. We are in for 2 years of gridlock. You know, the Senate and the House won't agree on anything. So nothing will happen for 2 years. Nothing good and frankly, nothing too bad either. The economy will continue to improve because of the two stimulus packages that came from Obama. And we'll just sit there. And they'll sit and they'll argue. And the American people will get really mad at both of them. And then Obama will be reelected in 2012. That's my prediction.
You know, Mark, for 8 years, Ronald Reagan lied through his teeth. The
right.
public did not agree with his positions on almost all of the issues, but they didn't believe it. If they were informed what Reagan's position was, they wouldn't believe it, or they didn't care because he got...
Because he was likable, because he had a nice smile, because he was mourning in America. He was a nice guy. I met Ronald Reagan as a little kid. He was very nice.
Really? Yeah.
He wasn't a good president, but he was a very nice person.
You know, there was a book about the press, and Ronald Reagan was called On Bended Knee. They were a lapdog.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what Ronald Reagan started, and I'm going to get more into this after the break. But what Ronald Reagan started was this crazy idea that Republicans still claim today, that you can cut taxes, increase spending, and balance the budget. Just think about it. It's like you've got your budget. You've got your family budget. The idea is this. You make less, you spend more, and you reduce your indebtedness. Now, other than winning the lottery, I don't know how an individual does this. And I certainly don't know how a government does this. But this has been the Republican plan of action. The amazing thing, because Tea Party just claimed to be fiscal conservatives, is all you have to do is look at every single Republican president from Jerry Ford on. I mean, Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, and Bush, Obama. The Republicans always increased the deficit much, much more. And the worst, of course, was George W. Bush, taking us from the greatest surplus in American history to the greatest deficit in American history. And one thing I want listeners to comment on, because I don't think most Americans realize that most of our deficits are caused by the Bush tax cuts and the Bush wars, particularly the Iraq war. I want to know how people feel about an Iraqi war tax. Just Republicans just pay for the war. Every other president has paid for their wars. World War II, they all were, Civil War, they were all paid for. All right? So how about the idea we simply have an Iraqi war tax? Just charge, say, people who earn over a million, we'll charge them 5% a year until the Iraqi war plus interest is paid off. I want to know what people think about that. I want to know if Republicans would support that. And if not, how do they want to pay for the war? Oh, wait, I think I already know. They want to cut Social Security and Medicare. That's what they want to do to pay for their wars. That's what I think. Hey, Bob, thanks for your call. I always appreciate it.
Okay.
If you want to call in, folks, it's 888-653-7543. We'll be right back after this.
Leslie Marshall, real people, real life. Real Talk, 888-6-LESLIE. Get her where you want, when you want. The Leslie Marshall Podcast. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine, proudly filling in for Leslie Marshall. I'm reporting to you live from my hometown in Washington, D.C., and it's nice to know we've got Washington, D.C. listeners to the show. Alex from Washington, welcome to the Leslie Marshall Show.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you can hear us. You know, I listen sometimes to Leslie in Washington. It's kind of hard. You have to kind of be on a high hill or something to hear it down here.
Simulcast.
Oh, okay.
Leslie Marshall website.
There you go. There you go. That's good. That's good. I understand it works on the website, doesn't work so well on phones, but they're working on that. Hey, listen, you wanted to talk about healthcare. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to acknowledge that repeal of healthcare is a nonsensical idea, but the reason I really called, I wanted to sort of take issue with you about this romanticized notion of Reagan the good man. I watched Mississippi Burning last night on one of the premium channels. I'm mm-hmm. from the 60s myself. Mm-hmm. That's when the three civil rights workers, the two Goodman, Cheney, and the
right, Schwimmer,
were brutalized and right. murdered. I'll ask you, what good man would dignify such barbaric brutality by launching his reelection campaign from the capital city where such an atrocity took place? That's what Reagan did. Now, that, no good man would do that.
You mean from where? Montgomery, Alabama? Which capital city? I'm just.
This is in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Where
Philadelphia. Happened. Okay, all right.
The press barely touched on the fact that Reagan launched his reelection campaign from this city, this olive branch segregationist. I didn't want to drag the whole conversation.
No, Alex.
I just wanted to.
I think that's an interesting point. I have to admit.
That's not the action of a good man.
No. I have to admit, I did not know that Ronald Reagan began his campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi. That's very interesting. I do know that he certainly was someone who was not particularly good to black people. I mean, he's the one who brought up, you know, the idea of the welfare queens, this idea that people are always misusing the welfare payments. What I meant to say, and I want to be very clear, Ronald Reagan was an amiable man. That's probably the better way to put it. The point is that when you met him and you shook his hand, he seemed really nice. I mean, frankly, George Bush seemed nice, too. That doesn't mean they weren't bad people or bad presidents. My point is that it's amazing what a smile can do to your political career. But no, I'm not saying I supported Ronald Reagan's policies.
Yeah,
and I didn't know about Philadelphia, Mississippi. I have to admit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know Goebbels had a hell of a smile, but my other point
he may have.
Reagan...
Yeah.
Before Reagan, taxes were at a level where if you wanted to take your huge profits and you're a very rich person and take them off to Switzerland or to invest in China or somewhere else, you had to pay a tax. And because the taxes were high before Reagan on these enterprises, being cheap, these interests reinvested their money in American factories and plants and provided jobs for people. And this notion of Reagan's tax cuts helping the American people, not black people, working people.
I'll tell you, Alex, here's how we know that they didn't help, all right? I mean, we look at Ronald Reagan's economy versus Bill Clinton's economy. Right? Bill Clinton raised taxes.
A total disaster.
Exactly. And he created much more jobs.
It continues to this day. Now, there's a guy, a tax analyst, David K. Johnson. You ought to have him on your show sometime.
Okay.
He'll break this down for you.
I'll tell you something, Alex. I got to go because I got Victoria Jones. She's the White Horse correspondent for the Talk Radio News Service. And she's going to talk to us about the latest on this health care debate. So let me go to Victoria Jones right now. Victoria, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So what's the latest there?
Well, the president late Friday signed the bill that authorized nearly $725 billion in defense spending. That's a defense authorization bill to make sure that the Pentagon can keep running, basically. But he issued a signing statement, something that he really hasn't done much of. He spoke out against certain restrictions in the legislation.
Well,
the bill increases defense spending by 7% from the previous fiscal year, but he objected to two sections which relate to money tied to transferring detainees in U.S. custody. It's banning the use of defense funds from being spent on transferring detainees from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to the United States. And then the next section bars the use of certain funds to move detainees to other countries unless precise conditions are met.
I didn't even know that was in the bill. That's very interesting. Of course, the president has long said that he wants to close Guantanamo Bay, and he's going to need money to do that.
Right. Well, he's still hoping to do that. Now, he says the limitations, which were put into the bill by House Democrats, interfere with... Yes. Yes, interfere with the authority of the executive branch to make important and consequential foreign policy and national security determinations regarding whether and under what circumstances such transfers should occur in the context of an ongoing armed conflict.
See, I think you may be right. If you look at Article 2 under the Constitution, these are the foreign policy, commander-in-chief, dealing with the military. These are presidential functions, and after all, Guantanamo Bay is a military prison. It's not a U.S. prison, so I think the president may be right on this. Tell me what else. You said you want to talk something about health care. We've been talking about health care
today.
Well,
there was a big vote in the House today, a procedural vote in the House, basically a vote to proceed to debate on repealing the health care law, which is now referred to as repealing the Job-Killing Health Care Law Act. And yeah, that's his new name.
Yeah, but listen, the repeal didn't allow, they're not allowing any amendments, right? The rule that passed today prevented anyone from proposing anything to actually replace the bill, right?
That's right. Now, it may be that something will be allowed during debate on Tuesday and Wednesday. That remains to be seen, but certainly nothing was allowed today.
I doubt it. I don't think that's going to happen. So, and they also read the Constitution, of course.
Now, they read the Constitution, but they turned over two pages at once, and so they missed a bit.
They did, and they also, very interesting, Victoria, they did not read the three-fifths clause, the original part of the Constitution that counted African Americans slaves as three-fifths of a person. Thank you, Victoria Jones, for calling in. I appreciate it. I've got others on the line, 888-653-7543. We'll be back to debate health care right after this.
The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
Republicans, who do you think you're fooling? This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall and asking, who do the Republicans think they're fooling? Oh, we want to cut the deficit. Oh, yes, we don't care about the deficit when Bush is in power. Oh, and we don't want to pay for our wars, and we want to increase it by $1 trillion to invade Iraq, to bring oil to oil companies. And, oh, yes, and deficits don't matter, Dick Cheney says. And, oh, and by the way, we need more deficits because we need more tax cuts for more mega millionaires because, after all, they create jobs. Who do you think you're fooling? Rich people don't just create jobs. They don't just say, ooh, I'm getting 3% more on my paycheck. I'm going to go out and create a job. I'm going to hire somebody I don't need for a service nobody wants. If you're making a product, you're going to hire as many people as you need to make the product. If your demand goes up, in other words, if poor and middle class people get a tax cut, so more people want to buy your toys or your cars, then you'll hire more people because poor and middle class people are the engines of the economy. But if rich people get more money, they're just going to magically hire people? Ooh, I have a factory. I need 27 workers. And, ooh, I just made 3% more of my paycheck. I'm going to hire two people who will sit around and do nothing. If anything, employers, what do? They fire people in America and hire children in India to do things because they're cheaper. Now, if Republicans really wanted to protect jobs, they could have a law that instead of giving tax cuts to mega millionaires, give a tax cut to someone who creates an American job and raise taxes on people that outsource American jobs. There's an idea. Yeah, the Republicans. Who do they think they're fooling? They say they're going to repeal and replace health care. That's a load of BS. Oh, they'll repeal it all right, but replace it? Replace it with what? I hear crickets chirping. Replace it with what? Oh, you want to cut spending? What spending do you want to cut? I hear more crickets chirping. The Republicans said, we're going to cut $100 billion. No, we've got more than $1 trillion in deficits, mostly, again, caused by the Bush wars, the Bush recession, and the Bush tax cut. In fact, that causes all of them. Without those three, we'd be in a surplus under Bill Clinton. So how are they going to pay for this trillion deficit? We're going to cut $100 billion in spending. All right, well, 10%. All right, where is it? Oh, well, now they're saying it'll be $60 billion or $50 billion. Yeah, right. What are you going to cut? What are you going to cut, Republicans? Oh, Paul Ryan of Wisconsin? He's going to cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, at least he's honest. At least he admits it. You push a Republican really hard, and that's what they're going to cut. Just think, Americans, you've put your wages for 10, 20, 30, 40 years away. You paid your payroll taxes to get your Social Security and get your Medicare, and that's what they want to cut so they can give more money to mega millionaires who don't want it and don't need it. Who do you think you're fooling? Well, apparently you're fooling a lot of people, including Peter from Danbury, Connecticut, who I think is being fooled. He thinks the health care laws need to be repealed. Peter, give me your best case.
What would you like to know, sir?
Well, tell me why you think the current system of health care is better than, when I say current, I mean, why do you think the pre-health care reform system is better than the bill that was just passed by Congress?
Did you call it the Bush reform system, sir?
No, I said the current health care reform bill that just became law.
I'm against the current health
care. You want to repeal it.
As a matter of fact, under Obama, the word reform has come to mean scam.
Okay, so in your view,
Obama's healthcare scam is a naked power grip.
Well, let's just go through the principles of the bill, Peter. In your view,
Would you speak up, sir? I'm on a cell phone in a traffic jam.
All right, I'll try. You just turn up your volume on your phone if you can. So, first question: do you think that someone who has a pre-existing condition, say a 6-year-old with leukemia, all right, should they be covered? Should they die in the streets? Should they have taxpayers pay for it? What's your view?
My view is, sir, that I should pick my own health care. Okay, I don't want to have it forced on me.
Okay, so let the child die.
I'm not talking about the child.
Right. But the child, and she's dying. Are you going to make sure she's, you know, not dying or let her die? I mean, we have choices to make.
I'm not going to worry about the child.
Exactly. Ahead. Don't worry about her. If she dies, it's not your problem, right?
I'm trying to take care of myself, sir.
Okay.
I'm
all right. So if I understand, if 40 million Americans can't
and
afford
I could do
healthcare,
it better.
All right.
If other people's decisions were not forced upon me.
I understand, Peter. So if 40 million Americans don't have health care. Yeah, we don't care. We are not our brother's keeper. Absolutely. Jesus, Abraham, they're all wrong. Don't give a damn.
Sir,
let your fellow man die. Okay.
About how I owe other people my health care.
Okay, let's talk about yourself.
I don't want to have my income redistributed.
All right.
I don't want to have my health care rationed.
Peter, let's talk about you. Do you have health care insurance?
Yes, I do.
You do. Okay. But you want the right not to have it.
I want the right to make my own choices.
Okay. So even though you have health care.
The Obama health care system.
No, okay. No, wait. Even though you have health care, you want.
Anyone who thinks that I will be grateful to have the federal government impose itself.
Well, wait, how is it imposing itself on you? Peter, you already have health care. How is the federal government imposing upon you?
If the Obama health care is enacted.
It already is, yes.
Not stopped by the Republicans.
It's already been enacted.
I will have to submit to it, whether I like it or not.
Wait, submit to what? Submit to what? You know there's no public option. There's no government run anything except in Medicare.
I want to control my own health care.
But you do.
I don't want the
Blanche,
federal government imposing itself between me and my doctor.
Okay, they don't do that. So tell me specifically.
Excuse me, who doesn't do that?
The government does not get between you and your doctor.
Not yet. The Obama health care system has not gone into effect yet.
No, wait. Tell me specifically, because it's amazing to me that the things people believe. How specifically do you think health care reform gets between you and your doctor?
I am not going to be picked apart on minutia by the likes of you.
Well, wait. You just said it gets between you and your doctor. So you have no idea whether what you're saying is true or false. Okay. I just said that. Back it up. You tell me, because I'll tell you something, sir. You don't know what's in the bill.
You don't.
It's not an opinion. Look, sir.
This is my opinion.
You have the right to your own opinion. You don't have the right to your own facts. And the Obama health care law does not get between you and your doctor. That is false.
They're going to regulate the internet, right?
Well, you're changing the subject. The Obama health care law does not get between you and your doctor. Now, if you think it does, you don't even know what's in it. What's in it?
If I don't know what's in it, sir, that's because it was snuck by people who told us we have to pass it to find out what's in it.
Snuck by. There was more than a year of debate. What do you think is in the bill? I want to know what you hate. What do you hate?
Things I don't want are
in
the bill, sir.
Like what? Name one. Name one.
Name one?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to participate.
No, you don't. Participate in what?
Excuse me, sir.
You don't have to join the exchanges. You have your current health care plan.
I don't know about joining the exchange.
You don't have to do that.
Excuse me, sir. That's a load of crap.
No, wait a minute. You said you already have health care. The bill does require people who don't have health care to have health care, and it gives you subsidies if you don't have it. That's true. But you already have health care. You already have health care. How will the bill change your life other than keeping your rates down? Because
excuse me, that's a lie.
It does keep your rates down. Clearly it does. One of the ways it keeps your rates down, by the way, is it makes sure that health care insurance companies pay 80 to 85% of the amounts they receive out in benefits.
It will keep my rates down. My rates went up on January 1st by 50% already.
I'm sure they did. Mine have gone up, too. Don't you see? That's why we need this bill that hasn't gone into effect yet.
Mine have gone up.
That's right.
What you choose to do is up to you.
Don't you see, sir, that the health care law will keep what's happening now from happening again?
Don't I think what, sir? I'm sorry.
According to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, premiums will... The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office.
Excuse me. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has to deal with the parameters set before them. Like, for instance, 10 years worth of taxes for 6 years worth of benefits. Right? Isn't that correct, sir?
Oh, it is correct. And you know what the Congressional Budget Office
Thank
said?
Thank you very much.
Do you know what the Congressional Budget Office said happens in the next 10 years when there's taxes and benefits? They said it was going to save...
What did you say, sir?
Do you know what the Congressional Budget Office said is it's going to happen in the next 10 years after the program is in place with both taxes and benefits? They said we're going to save... Let me tell you what they said. Hang on, Peter. Let me just tell you what they said. They said in the next 10 years, it will save $1.5 trillion. Now, I don't know how you want to pay that $1.5 trillion that we're going to save from the Obama health care law. How would you pay it? Would you raise your own taxes or cut your Social Security?
Sir, I am a poor man.
Okay, so do you want to cut your Social Security or raise your taxes?
On my way home from work.
Right, I want to know how you're going to pay for the $1.5 trillion if the health care law is repealed.
I am going to pay for it?
Yeah.
I'm just going to try and stay solvent, sir.
Well, but you understand that the health care law reduces the deficit by $1.5 trillion.
Trying to redistribute my health care.
No one's redistributing anything.
Excuse
you don't even know what's in the bill. That's what gets me. If you want to oppose something and you know what's in it, I'm fine with that.
It's not because Obama tried to tell me before it was passed.
Have you looked to see what was in
the
bill?
Contract, for God's sake.
Have you looked to see what was in the bill? Do you want me to tell you what's in the bill? Do you want to look it up on the internet?
When you buy a house, do you read the contract?
I do. Do you?
Okay. Do I? I didn't have the chance with health care, sir.
Yeah, you did. It was debated for more than a year. You could have called your representative. Let me tell you what's in the bill. Let me tell you what's in the bill since you don't know what's in the bill.
To find out what's in it.
Let me tell you what's in the bill. Since you apparently don't know what's in it, let me tell you what's in it, and you can tell me what you like and what you don't like.
We just pass it, then we'll figure out how to pay for it.
Peter?
That's absolute nonsense.
I agree it's absolute nonsense what you just said. Let me tell you what's in the bill.
Excuse me,
and
sir.
You tell me. Yeah,
you asked my opinion.
No, but
I don't give you my opinion so that you can make snarky remarks
Peter,
like that.
Peter, you have the right to your opinion.
It's a lot of nonsense.
You have the right to your opinion. You don't have the right to your own facts. And all I'm saying is I want to tell you what's in the bill.
I'm not giving you facts. I'm giving my opinion.
I understand. Let me tell you what's in the bill, and you tell me whether you like it or not, okay? One of the things in the bill. Let me tell you what's in the bill, and then you can tell me whether you like it or not. One of the things that's in the bill is that if you've been paying your insurance year after year after year and you get sick, the health care insurance company cannot cut you off, can't leave you on your own. You've paid your premium every year. That's in the Obama health care bill. If you repeal it, they can cut you off. Which do you think is the right answer? Should they be able to cut you off or not?
I prefer the health care I have now with Obama not having his fingers in it.
Okay, so you want people to be cut off when they're sick and then die, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't want them to be cut off.
I want to be able to express my opinion without you translating.
I just want to know your opinion. I want to know your opinion on the actual facts.
Excuse me, sir. I speak better than you do. I don't need you to do it for me.
I just want to know what you think about the health care bill, and I'm going to tell you what's in it, and you won't even express your opinion, sir. Do you think health care insurance companies can cut you off after you've paid your premiums year after year or not? What do you think the law should be?
I think the law should leave me to my own choices and not force me into this Obama.
Into the Obama what? No one's forcing you to anything.
Excuse me, that's a lie. We have to
tell me who's forcing you. Is there a cop in your car that's saying, join the Obama health care plan? There is no government-run plan. There is not even a public option. It's not even optional. It doesn't exist. I don't know where you get your news because you don't know what's in the bill. Who told you that anyone's forcing you to do anything?
I am not a communist. I am not a Democrat.
A communist?
I am aware of what's going on here.
Are you? But you don't even know what's in the bill.
I want to make my own choices.
Fine. And you can. Under the new law, you can choose any health care insurance company you want. The only choice you don't have is you can't choose a government-run plan because there is no public option.
The choice that I choose is to be left alone, sir.
Okay, so you believe the insurance company should be able to cut you off when you're sick?
I believe that the insurance companies have treated me in a manner that's acceptable up to now, and I don't...
You're fine with the insurance companies. I thought you were just complaining about the rates. Peter, I got to tell you, I've enjoyed this conversation because I think it shows the nature of the people who are supporting health care repeal. They don't know what's in the law. They love the insurance companies, and they won't answer a simple question about whether someone should be cut off. Peter, I respect your calling in. I respect your taking me on. But if you're going to have an opinion on something, please just know the facts first. 888-653-7543. We'll be back after this.
Leslie Marshall, the simple truth in a complicated world. 888-6-LESLIE. You can listen to Leslie on your iPod or MP3 player. Find out how. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Say now, who do? Who do you think you're fooling?
Who do you think you're fooling? You know, that was an interesting conversation, I must admit, with Peter. And I'm glad he called in. And I know he thinks I was mocking him. I got to tell you, my problem with people like Peter from Connecticut is that he admitted he didn't know what was in the health care reform bill, and yet he opposed it vociferously. And then he says he's a poor guy, he's on a limited income. The bill helps him. Frankly, once it goes into place, I think he's going to change his mind. Just like people opposed Social Security, they opposed Medicare. And now 94% of people on Medicare like it. Nobody's touching your health care, Peter. No one's getting between you and your doctor. I guarantee you, when you go to see your doctor, President Obama won't go in and stand in your way. It doesn't do that. And I know Glenn Beck told you that, but Glenn Beck is a liar. You want to know what's in the bill? Look it up. Don't trust me. Look it up. Look it up. It's go to the bill itself, look at the table of contents. If you trust the New York Times, the Washington Post, or the Congressional Research Service, I mean, I don't know who you trust, but there are facts. So Peter didn't know what was in the bill. So I told him what was in the bill, and I'm just going to take one by one. And I said, one of the things that's in the bill is if you've paid your insurance year after year after year and you get sick, the insurance company can't cut you off. Now, that was something I was sure he was going to say, fine, okay, I agree with that, but I don't agree with other things. And that would have been an opinion. That would have been fine. But he wouldn't answer the question. Does he agree with it or not? Does he agree that you pay your insurance year after year after year, you get sick, and they can cut you off? I don't know anyone who agrees with that, but Peter wouldn't answer my question. I guess he thought it was a trick question. Maybe he didn't think it was in the bill. He didn't say that. He said, I don't know what was in the bill. He said Nancy Pelosi wouldn't let him know what was in the bill. Nancy Pelosi came over to his house, stopped him from reading the bill on the internet. Who do they think they're fooling? They're fooling people like Peter. Peter, do me a favor. Just read the bill. Read a summary of the bill. Look it up on Wikipedia, maybe. It's good law. 888-653-7543.
Keep Leslie in your pocket. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. Still thinking about my debate there with Peter. Look, you know what? I really do respect you if you have a different opinion. But you got to know what you're talking about, right? You can ask. You can say, what's in the bill? Well, I'll tell you. And if you don't want to believe me, look it up in any source. Because there's a bunch of things that are in the bill. Let me tell you, since apparently some people don't know what's in the bill. Number one, if you paid your insurance premium, they can't cut you off. Number two, if you have a pre-existing condition, you can still get insurance. That's pretty good, right? You have cancer, you're going to be covered. The six-year-old with leukemia is not going to die in the streets. Now, to be fair, every other industrialized nation on Earth has a government-run program, that takes care of every single person in those 35 nations, and they pay less than we do, and they live longer than we do. We don't have the government program except for Medicare. Now, I happen to support Medicare for all, but Peter, and I don't know how old he is, but he may be eligible for Medicare soon. I don't know whether he's going to try to opt out and not take his Medicare. 94% of people on Medicare like it. Incredible statistic. But he was afraid that Obama was going to get in there and get between him and his doctor. What the heck was he talking about? How was the president going to get between him and his doctor? Doctor, this is President Obama. I understand you're Peter's doctor. I want you to deny him care. Thank you. Goodbye. What? What else is in the law? Children can stay on their parents' plans until they're 26. There are no lifetime caps. They can't say, oh, we've paid enough for your health care. You have to die now. Nope, that goes away. There are special subsidies for small business to include everyone. And there's the part, if you want to argue something you don't like, argue about the health care mandate. It does say that everyone in America has to get health care. And the reason for that is quite simple. And this is the part that's controversial. If you want to disagree with something, heck, at least know what you're disagreeing with. You might disagree with the health care mandate that says everyone has to be covered. And the reason for that is that if you didn't do that, prices would skyrocket. In fact, there have been states where they didn't have this mandate, and the insurance companies had to cover everyone. They passed on the cost to everyone, and it skyrocketed. Because what you could do, it's called the free rider effect if you studied economics. What you can do is simply not, I don't need health care. I'm 25, I'm healthy, I don't need health care. I'm 30, I'm healthy, I don't need health care. I'm 32, I just got cancer, I want health care. Boom, let me in. And if you have to let the person in, and they haven't paid for those 7 years, then basically, why should any person get health care insurance? Just wait till you're sick, and then buy the insurance. You can be a free rider. You can ride in someone else. It's kind of like saying, I'm not going to buy fire insurance. My house is on fire. Quick, got insurance. Thank you. You can't do that. No system works like that. That's why in states where they didn't have the health care mandate, the premium skyrocketed. But in Massachusetts, and I'm going to praise Republican here, Mitt Romney, Governor Mitt Romney, set up the plan that's very, very similar to what President Obama set up. They had a mandate. More than 98% of people in Massachusetts are covered, and rates have gone down between 40 and 50%. Peter was complaining about his high rates. Don't you understand? It's before the bill kicks in. Now, as of this year, as of January 1st, for the first time ever, the government is going to require health care insurance companies to pay at least 80 or 85%, depending on their size, of the money they get in back towards health care. Now, what does that mean? That means their administrative costs, their profits, can't be more than 15 or 20%. Now, think what it means without that. They can come in and they can collect, $100 million and pay out $1 million in health care and keep 99% for themselves. No more. They can't charge you without giving you medical care. Now, who can be opposed to that? It's like saying, the government is forcing the ice cream truck when I pay them to actually give me ice cream. What's wrong with that? The idea that you're going to force a health care insurance company to provide health care, well, that's communism. No, it's not. It's requiring you get the service you paid for. The funny thing is, Peter seemed to think, he's going to be forcing some government-run program. We don't even have an option to go to a government-run program. Yeah, I support Medicare for all, but if you think that's too far gone, what about the public option? Just make an option. Just if you want to join the government policy that we all know is much cheaper because the administrative costs are far less. That's why it's cheaper in 35 nations to our neighbors to the north in Canada and England and France and New Zealand and Australia and Sweden and every other industrialized nation on earth. But okay. How about just having an option? I'm self-insured. I want to have the government plan. You don't find freedom, liberty, choice. Republicans are against that choice. Here, Peter is saying, I just want to have a choice. And we say, we'll give you the public option. We'll give you a choice. Republicans said, no, you can't have a choice. You can't have government care. You must have the private company, whether you like it or not. So fine. The bill doesn't even have a public option. And still Peter's against it. Why? Because Glenn Beck told him something that wasn't true that he can't even articulate. I'm sorry. I know it sounds like I'm mocking Peter. But you know what? If you're going to oppose something, know what you're opposing. Is that fair? Is that fair to say if you disagree with something, know what you're disagreeing with? If you say, I hate the XYZ bill, know what's in the XYZ bill. Know at least something that's in it. You want people with pre-existing conditions to clog the emergency rooms or die. Okay. You're against a healthcare mandate. Okay. All right. You're against the increase in taxes on Cadillac healthcare plans, whatever it is. But this idea, and that's why, by the way, the Republicans won't specify what's in the bill. They want to repeal the whole thing because if it's, we make it sound like it's Obamacare. It's not Obamacare. Obama does no caring in the bill. The doctors still, it's the same doctors you've always gone to. The sky will not fall when health care reform happens. All that will happen is you're going to pay less and the taxpayers will save more. And if you're against that, just tell me why. Who do they think they're fooling? Well, obviously they're fooling a bunch of people. You know, fooling about deficits. Do they really think that they care about deficits? Jobs. Let's talk about jobs. I mean, John Boehner, our new Speaker of the House, tears up at a moment's notice. Yeah, imagine if Nancy Pelosi were to cry. They'd say, weak woman. But a man, he can tear up. Fine. He tears up. I don't mind. I like sensitive men. I'm fine with that. What does he tear up about? Apparently, he comes from a poor family, 12 or 13 children. I forget how many brothers and sisters he had. And he tears up when he thinks about how far he's come. He believes in the American dream for himself, but not for others. I believe in the American dream. I believe that every American who works hard and plays by the rules, no matter how poor they are, how rich they are, no matter if they're black or white or gay or straight or Christian or Jewish or atheist, every American who plays by the rules should be able to have a chance to get ahead. But that's a Democratic idea. It's the Democrats that wanted to give every kid the right to go to college, to get a student loan at a rate that doesn't give all this money to the banks. The government saved hundreds of billions of dollars to students because they didn't have to give it to the banks. That's equal opportunity. That's what lets you get ahead in America. It's education. How do you think Obama made it? His mom was on welfare, and he went to Columbia and Harvard. How did he do it? How did he get a good education? Student loans? Government programs? That's the American dream. What else is in the American dream? A good job. You can't achieve the American dream without a good job. Healthcare? How can you get the American dream if you're worried that one horrible disease and you're going to lose everything? You need healthcare for the American dream. You need education for the American dream. You need a good paying job for the American dream. Here, unions, workers, have bonded together to get decent wages and decent benefits. And what do you hear from Governor Christie of New Jersey to every Republican? No. We have to break those contracts. We have to destroy the contracts. Even though we hired the workers, we promised to pay them. Let's just not pay. But when it comes to, I don't know, AIG getting bonuses, people who ruin the nation's and the world's economy by gambling with the heads they win, tails we, the taxpayer, lose strategy, people who ruined our economy. Oh, no. We can't take away their bonuses. They got a contract. They have a contract that says, as Michael Eisner did with Disney, that if he ruins the company, he gets $200 million as a golden parachute. That's a contract. If you're rich and you destroy everything, you get paid hundreds of millions of dollars. That's a contract. That's inviolate. If you're poor and you work hard and you do nothing wrong, you have to suffer. We're going to take away your pensions. Why did General Motors fail? Was it the workers on the assembly line that made General Motors fail? The people working hard to feed their families? No, I think it was decisions of the people at the top, the executives. But you're asking a Republican, oh, yeah, pay those executives hundreds of millions of dollars. They earned it. But the poor guy on the assembly line who's worked for 40 years to the bone, don't give him a union. Don't give him his benefits. Yeah, he worked for them. Cut them off. Yeah, you work for your Social Security. Cut it. Yeah, you work for your Medicare. Cut it. You know, there's a recent poll, 60 Minutes poll. I think maybe in Wall Street Journal, too. I'm trying to remember. I know it's 60 Minutes and someone else. There's a recent poll that asked Americans, how would you cut the deficit? And they were given four choices. You could either raise taxes on rich people, cut defense spending, cut Social Security, or cut Medicare. Now, you would think Democrats wanted to raise taxes on the rich and raise cut defense spending, and Republicans would want to cut Social Security, cut Medicare. Because after all, they don't usually say Social Security, Medicare. They say entitlements. Because that, I think, people don't know what entitlements mean. So we're going to cut entitlements. They don't realize they're actually going to cut your Social Security check. So Americans were asked. 61% said raise taxes on rich people. 20-odd percent said cut defense spending. 4% say cut Medicare. 3% say cut Social Security. Huh. So even Republicans would rather raise taxes on the rich than cut the Social Security or Medicare? Then why is the Republican Party doing its best to slash Social Security and Medicare? I don't care whether you want to raise the retirement age or cut Medicare benefits or cut Medicaid benefits. That's what they want to do, y'all. Do you really not know it? And the American people don't support it. How would you cut the deficit? How would you cut the deficit? I ask this of every Republican I've ever talked to on the air, I think. Every time I go on Fox or CNBC or every time a Republican calls on my show, we talk about this and I say, how would you cut the deficit? And you can hear the crickets chirping. They can't answer the question. Go to my website sometime. Go to marklevineradio.com. And look at all the times I argue with Republicans. I may play a clip from one of them. And I say, how would you cut the deficit? And either they're honest and they admit they want to cut Social Security and Medicare. That's rare. Or they just crickets chirp. They have no idea what they want to cut. The answer is they can't cut anything because we happen to be, and this is going to surprise a lot of y'all, we are paying the lowest percentage of taxes now that we've paid since, well, in 60, 70, 80 years. Taxed enough already? We are taxed far too little, particularly the rich. There was a time, heck, in World War II, people were taxed 90-something percent. And if you made, believe it or not, in the 40s, there was a special tax for people who made over $5 million. I think there was one guy that made that much. You know what? You don't want to tax at $250? How about taxing at $1 million, $5 million, $10 million, $100 billion, whatever it is. If you supported the Iraq War, should we have not paid for it? How would you cut the deficit? How would you do it? Republicans, even if they were to cut $100 billion, and they won't, that's a pittance. There's $1 trillion caused by the Bush War in Iraq, caused by the Bush tax cuts, caused by the sops to the rich, caused by the sops to the pharmaceutical companies and corporate welfare to oil companies. How would you pay for it all? Tea Party? Hello? Anyone? 888-653-7543. I'm waiting for someone to answer. 888-653-7543. We'll be right back after this.
Leslie Marshall, straight and on point. 888-6-LESLIE. Keep Leslie in your pocket. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall, trying to keep the Republicans honest. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. Trying just to understand the hypocrisy here. Trying to understand what they believe. You know, I am okay with people disagreeing as a matter of principle. You know, I mean, there is something to be said. I don't know if you've ever read Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand's famous book, Atlas Shrugged. I had a conservative roommate in college, and I couldn't argue with him anymore. He told me unless I read Atlas Shrugged. So I read all 1,084 pages of Atlas Shrugged. And this is a consistent philosophy that Ayn Rand has. And the philosophy is the philosophy of selfishness. And she capitalized the S. She believed in it so much. The philosophy of selfishness. I got mine, Jack. You get yours. Am I my brother's keeper, says the Bible? No, says Ayn Rand. And her book's all about if you are rich and profitable, you take care of yourself and let the poor people die. Frankly, Sparta had that. You know, ancient Sparta? They would take the babies that they considered weak, and they'd leave them up on a mountaintop, and if they managed to crawl their way home, well, they got to live, and otherwise they would just die. Survival of the fittest. Social Darwinism. There is a philosophy. In fact, and I'm not going to go too far here because I don't want to accuse my fellow Americans of being this far gone, but there's something to be said that eugenics, the Nazi philosophy, was all about survival of the fittest, the idea that weaker people or lesser people should just die. I'm not saying that Republicans want a Holocaust. I'm not. But the point is that there is a consistent philosophical belief that says, I am not my brother's keeper. I look out for me. You look out for you. If you're rich, you keep it all. If you're poor, you suffer. And if you rightfully, if your great-great-great-granddaddy had slaves and my great-great-great-granddaddy was a slave, then you know what? Let the chips fall where they may. He's rich and I'm poor, and don't give me an education. Don't let me achieve. Don't give student loans. Don't let the government help people get student loans. Don't let the government help people get a job. No, we don't need the government to don't pay taxes at all. We don't need the government for roads. We don't need government for snow removal. Oh, except when we do. There is a consistent philosophy out there. Let's live in anarchy. Let's go back to caveman dwelling, right? Just hunter-gatherer. You go and you hunt yours, and let's end this idea of some cooperation of this e pluribus unum from many one. Let's just get rid of that. This idea that we, the people, could all come together and form a union to establish justice and ensure tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare? No way! Promote the general welfare? That's communism! We don't promote general welfare in this country. We only promote our own welfare. Where the heck did I get that crazy language? From the preamble to the Constitution. Remember the Constitution? That thing that the Republicans read today in the House of Representatives? Do you know what it says? Preamble, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. That's right, not separation, union. We're all in this together, folks. Establish justice. Justice. You can't just commit fraud. Someone's got to stop you from doing that. Ensure domestic tranquility. Make sure that things are calm. Make sure people aren't dying in the streets. Provide for the common defense. Okay. We've got to protect ourselves. Promote the general welfare. Promote the general welfare. We're all in this together. We are our brother's keeper. So says the Founding Fathers. I love this document, the Constitution. Why are people who purport to be constitutionalists against promoting the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty? Liberty. Freedom. Not freedom to step on our neighbor, but freedom to live our lives as we choose. Freedom of gay people to marry. Freedom of blacks and women to have equal rights under the law. Well, that wasn't in the original Constitution, but it's there now. Secure the blessings of liberty. Now, liberty does not mean refusal to help your fellow man. Liberty's got nothing to do with that. Liberty means that if you've got your own religious practice, or you've got something you want to read, or something you want to say, you can say it. You can read it. You don't have the government telling you what to say, telling you what to read. But let's talk about what the government can do. They can tell you to be educated. That's right. We have laws that require you to go to public school. And yes, they can require you to have health care. They can require you to have insurance if you buy a car. And they can require you to have health insurance so you don't come in the system later and say, well, I need it now. And those of you that say, well, I will never need health care. Well, you know what? Everyone listening to my voice, you were born once. And I suspect when you were born, you had health care. And everyone listening to my voice, you're going to die someday. And at that time, you're going to need health care. And even if you are just perfectly fine all in between, you're going to need health care someday. And we can't have a system that says that you don't pay in until you start dying. And that's why 94% of Americans support Medicare. What is Medicare? Medicare is a government-run program. It's government health care. And yet, you see, Tea Party is saying, government, hands off my Medicare. Don't you see? It works, folks. And it's true to the Constitution. 888-653-7543, back at the top of the hour.
The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you. the people.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show, entering the third hour. This is your guest host, Mark Levine, proud and honored to serve the Leslie Marshall audience. If you want to find out more about me, just go to marklevineradio.com. One of the points I was making in the last hour, and by the way, I'm going to spend this entire next hour talking about the Constitution, because I carry it everywhere I go. I have since law school. I really believe in this document. Not that it's always right. If it's not right, you can amend it. God knows it began unright. It began allowing slavery and not allowing women to vote and all kinds of horrible things that were taken out. But I believe in a constitutional government. I believe in the rule of law. I am a strict constructionist and proud to be a liberal strict constructionist. I'll explain that in a minute. But before I get to that, I just want to finish something that I started in the last hour. One of the things that I find is whenever you talk about cutting the deficit, the Republicans talk in generalities. Right? Democrats have a specific plan. It's not that Democrats want to tax rich people. It's that they want to bring the rates back to those of the Clinton years because we had this massive deficit. We had this Iraq war, which benefited the oil companies and no one else. Certainly didn't benefit the thousands of Americans that served honorably and died there, or the tens or hundreds of thousands of Iraqis that died there. I'm glad Saddam Hussein is gone. I don't think it was worth it. And you know, the Republicans don't think it was worth it either because they don't want to pay for it. You got to raise taxes to pay for it. So how would Republicans cut the deficit? They go on and on. They ran a whole campaign. We want to cut spending, cut spending, cut spending. When's the last time you ever heard Republicans say which spending they want to cut? Crickets chirp. It's all about generalities because they know that Americans love to cut spending. They just don't want to cut spending. They don't want to cut any individual programs. They don't want to cut their Social Security, their Medicare care. They don't want to cut national parks or their roads. They want to cut that amorphous, wasteful government spending that affects someone else, whatever that is, except that, well, pretty much all government spending helps somebody. So what would you cut? What would you cut? What would you cut? Every time I was on the air last month, I would talk to my Republican opponent and I would say, what would you cut? And if you push him, and I had to push him, first they try to avoid the question. You push him, you push him, you push him. And what does it always come down to? Social Security, Medicare. I told you about the recent poll. 61% of Americans would tax the rich. 20-something percent would cut defense. 4% want to cut Medicare. 3% want to cut Social Security. If you push the Republicans hard, what do they want to cut? Social Security and Medicare. Let me show you. I'm going to give you two examples where I was on the air recently on CNBC. Where the first is with radio host Ben Ferguson. And he's saying the Republicans are going to have to cut spending. And I know you've heard people say that all the time. Concerns. Republicans are going to have to cut spending. But when I pressed him what he's going to cut, what could he come up with? Only Social Security. Play the clip, Bart.
You can't have taxes go up. Do we have to pay for this in the future? Absolutely. Do we need to start figuring that out right now? Yes. And the people that are going to Washington now, I think, know this. They ran on this. They said, look,
yeah, but Ben,
we're
you
going
still
up there to slash
given a
and burn.
Specific. How would you pay for it?
How would I pay for it? Well, yeah. First of all, I'd stop all the entitlements. Second of all, I would make
Social
it unacceptable.
Security. Security.
Let me finish. I would make it unacceptable to be unemployed for 3 years in this country and have the government give you a check to do that. That's unacceptable behavior that creates laziness in this country. It doesn't take 3 years to find a job.
Now, so Ben's plan is end pensions, create food lines, get people out of their homes. Here's the secret that costs the economy. If people can't afford to buy toys for their kids at Christmas, if Bob Cratchit can't get any money from Uncle Scrooge and all the money goes to him, there will be no Christmas.
Mark,
toy manufacturers won't be able to pay for anything.
Okay, that's me arguing with Ben Ferguson. So he wants to cut entitlements. What are entitlements? Well, Social Security, Medicare. He mentioned another one. He mentioned unemployment insurance. By the way, it's simply not true that you get it for 3 years. You get it for 99 weeks. There are 52 weeks in a year, and I guess Ben can't count. You get it for just under 2 years. That's the maximum, and then you're cut off if you don't find a job. Ben obviously feels that all the people that are unemployed in America today deserve to be unemployed. They haven't looked for a job. There's millions and millions of jobs, great jobs, just waiting for Americans to pick it up, but apparently we don't want to. The unemployed, if you're unemployed, if you're laid off, it's your own fault. That's the Republican plan. So who's he going to cut? He's going to cut Social Security that we all paid into, the Medicare that we all paid into, the unemployment insurance that we all paid into. It's insurance. Social Security is insurance. Medicare is insurance. We pay in our premiums. We expect to get our benefits out. What Republicans want is for us to pay in our premiums and not get any benefits out. Instead, they want to give those benefits to mega millionaires. You don't believe me? What about when I debate a guy from the Heritage Foundation, a guy named Curtis? You're going to hear my debate with him. This was a week before the debate with Ben Ferguson, and I asked him. This is the Heritage Foundation. This is a conservative think tank. This is a very smart man. I asked him what would he cut. He hemmed and hawed. He wouldn't answer. I pressed him hard. And what did he say he's going to cut? Social Security. Play the clip, Mark.
I want to punish them. I know we have to pay this debt back. Now, what are the Republican plans to pay it back? They want to cut Social Security. They want to cut union benefits. They want to throw people out of their homes. They want to make middle class people poor. I got to tell you, the vacuum has sucked all our money. It's all gone to billionaires. We don't have any left. That harms the economy. I would ask Curtis, how's he going to pay it back?
All right, Curtis, how will you pay it back?
Well, I wouldn't worry too much about paying it. If this is not a tax cut, no one's taxes are going down next year. This is about keeping the tax rates where they've been for a decade now. If you want to keep the deficit low, don't spend the money. That's really all it comes down to.
What would you cut?
Our tax revenue will be right back where it's been historically in a few short years when the economy recovers. And it's just a spending that's causing the deficit. It has nothing to do with low tax revenue.
What would you cut, Curtis? Social Security, Medicare, maybe close all the national parks? What would you cut? Give me details.
I'm ready for this. I knew you were going to say that. I came prepared.
All right, what do you
cut? First of all, the Heritage Foundation put together a plan that cuts $343 billion in spending. Now, that's only short term. That's the bridge to the entitlement cuts. We need to get entitlements under control.
We need to reform Social Security,
Medicare, and Medicaid. And there are plans out there to do that. Paul Ryan and Alice Rivlin have put together some very good plans that could do just that.
So there you have it. What are you going to cut? Well, we don't have to talk about cuts right now because blah, 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 blah. What would you cut? I knew you were going to ask that. We have a plan, $343 billion. Terrific. What specifically is in that plan? You have to ask him about four times before they answer the question. And then he finally answered, Social Security, Medicare. I got news for you, Heritage Foundation. I got news for you, conservatives. I got news for you, Republicans. Americans like their Social Security. Americans like their Medicare. They've paid into the system for years and years and years, and they want to get it back. One of the most horrible lies that Republicans are spreading, particularly among young people, is you're not going to get your Social Security money back. That is a vicious lie. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, when I'm 65, I'm not going to get my Social Security. Well, yeah, you are, unless Republicans change the law. Under the law, you are going to get your Social Security. You are going to get your Medicare. And that's going to happen unless Republicans change the law. I guarantee you no Democrat's going to cut your program. So if you're worried about getting Social Security at age 65, vote for the Democrats. I just don't want to hear anyone say, I'm not going to get any Social Security, so I support ending it. What? What? I'm not going to get any ice cream, and because of that, I'm going to ban ice cream. What? If you want something, don't vote against it. Is that too hard? I mean, is this really hard for people to understand? If you want something, you have to keep it around. Now, right now, the law is it's around. Unless the Republicans repeal Social Security or Medicare or raise the retirement age or cut benefits, you're going to get it, folks, by law. And don't give me this, well, it might have a deficit. So friggin' what? George Bush spent $1 trillion on a war that he didn't pay for. Two wars. I mean, you know, I supported responding to 9/11, but the war in Iraq? Heck, even the war in Afghanistan, you got to pay for it. We paid for World War II. We paid for the Civil War. We paid for the Revolutionary War. We paid for every other war. If we can go to war without having the money to be there, why can't we pay Social Security? And you know what? The money's there. It's there till 2037. In fact, it used to be there until 2028 until we ran the great surplus of Bill Clinton years, and he extended the Social Security system to 2037. It's fine. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. If you want to fight your wars, just have an Iraqi war tax. What are you going to cut, Republicans? What are you going to cut? You push them, you shove them. What are they going to cut? That's Social Security and Medicare. Do you think if Americans knew the truth, You think if Americans knew that Republicans' main plan to service and pay for all these breaks for multi-mega millionaires and billionaires, that it was coming out of their Social Security checks, do you think if the Republicans made clear what's behind them if you push and you shove and you scrape away their rhetoric, do you think the Republicans would have won so many seats in the House of Representatives last November? I don't. For the next 45 minutes or so, I'm going to talk about the Constitution. If you want to call and talk about what I just talked about, Social Security, feel free, 888-653-7543. And if you don't call, I'm going to go in and talk about a liberal, strict constructionist view of the Constitution, a document that I revere and I wish Republicans would respect. We'll be right back after this.
Leslie Marshall, the simple truth in a complicated world. 888-6-LESLIE. Keep Leslie in your pocket. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine, guest hosting for Leslie Marshall. The Republicans in the House of Representatives read the Constitution today. They didn't read the entire Constitution. They took out passages that have relate to things that have been amended out, like the three-fifths clause, counting slaves as three-fifths of a person for purposes of representation and so forth. And I disagree with that. I think we have to read the full Constitution and know its past as well as its present. But I was glad that people were reading the Constitution now. You know, a lot of members, well, they read it and then they left. I'd like people to know what's in the Constitution. I hear people all the time say, oh, health care is unconstitutional. Really? Why? It says Congress can provide for the general welfare. It says Congress can regulate interstate commerce. It says Congress can do anything that's necessary and proper to execute these provisions. It says Congress can tax. And what is the health care penalty? It's a tax. It's a tax if you, basically the way it works is if you don't buy health care, you're taxed. Well, you know, Congress does that all the time. If you don't have kids, you're taxed too. Right? You tax a certain amount, you get exemption if you have kids. You tax a certain amount, you get exemption if you buy health care. What's so surprising about that? But Mark, not having kids is not an economic activity. The state can't force me to have kids. Well, they're not forcing you to have kids. They're taxing you more if you don't. They're not forcing you to buy health care. They're taxing you more if you don't. What's the difference? I would like Republicans to read the Constitution. I would like Democrats. I would like all Americans to read the Constitution because I am a strict constructionist. I am. I always have been. I believe that words have meaning. I believe the rule of law has meaning. I believe the Constitution should only be amended through amendments. Now, that doesn't change and say that I'm not a liberal. I'm still a liberal. But I believe in the Constitution strongly. What does the Constitution say? I read most of the preamble. Says promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's right, our children. We have to look out for our children and our future. We can't just look out for ourselves. To ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Do you know when the Constitution was established? What was there beforehand? Do you know your American history? After we won the Revolution in 1783, we didn't have the Constitution. We had what was called the Articles of Confederation. We had states' rights. We had 13 new states. They were colonies. They became states, independent states, joined together in this loose confederation. And every state had the right to, if all 13 states didn't agree, nothing got done. They couldn't tax people. You know, it's amazing. When I hear conservatives talk about states' rights, when I hear Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli say, well, Virginia doesn't have to obey the national law. Well, you're right, Ken. Under the Articles of Confederation, they didn't. But we've had the Constitution since 1789. Have you read it? Now, you could argue, well, it was unclear. It was unclear. Maybe the states, having joined in this compact, could leave the compact. That was the argument made by South Carolina in 1830. in the Great Nullification Controversy, and again in 1860, when South Carolina and 12 other southern states tried to withdraw from the Union, and we fought a bloody civil war over it, and I think the issue is resolved. If you want to leave the Union, tough. If you don't like federal law, elect people to change it. But don't tell me that, oh, we're a state. Arizona, we don't have to follow federal immigration law. Virginia, we don't have to follow the health care law. You do. That's the law. And don't tell me that you believe in the Constitution, because you don't. Now, if you say, if Ken Cuccinelli would be honest and say, look, I don't believe in the American Constitution, even though every single office holder from dog catcher to the president is sworn to uphold the Constitution. I don't believe in the Constitution. I believe in states' rights. I believe in Jefferson Davis. I think the Confederacy was right. I think Virginia can simply nullify federal law, secede from the Union. And, you know, you have a right to say it. There's free speech in America. Go ahead. Refight the Civil War. But don't tell me it's in the Constitution. Do conservatives know what's in the Constitution? Do I have to read to you Article 6 of the Constitution? I think I do. I'm going to read it. Here we go. Article 6. The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the constitutional laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. State law doesn't trump federal law. Federal law trumps state law. It did in the Articles of Confederation. It hasn't for 221 years. I believe in the Constitution. I am a strict constructionist. I read Article 1, Section 8. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. That's what health care reform is. You want something radical? Medicare is much more radical. But even that, it's collecting taxes to provide for the general welfare. It's regulating commerce. Guys, if you don't like health care reform, fine. Give me a reason. There's no constitutional reason. But if you don't like it and you get enough votes, yeah, you can repeal it. You have a constitutional right to repeal health care. I disagree with you. But you have the right to repeal it. But don't tell me it's not in the Constitution. Read the friggin' Constitution. I read it all the time. Tony from Chicago, I only got about a minute, but I'll let you go on after the break. Go ahead and say your piece.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, welcome.
I'm just saying that we allowed this to happen, and we're all complaining about it. We put all these guys in office, and they ship our jobs away, and now we're complaining about it. And,
well, I didn't put them into office. I didn't put these guys.
Well,
I didn't put John Boehner in office.
Our parents before them did. I mean, we led up to this point where now we don't have any jobs, and now we're complaining about it, you know?
And, well, what's your answer? Vote the bums out?
I don't see this as a country. It's more like a corporation. It's always been a corporation. It never was a country. You know, it's always benefited corporate people, you know, people in power.
Government of the corporations, by the corporations.
Every one thing you do for a medium-class guy, you do 10 things for a rich.
I hear you, Tony. If you want to stick around, please do. But Tony's got a point. We've become government of the corporations, by the corporations, for the corporations. What do you think? 888-653-7543. Tony, stick around if you want. Back after this.
Keep Leslie in your pocket. Go to LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine. Proudly filling in for Leslie Marshall and telling you why I am a strict constructionist on the Constitution. I agree with the Constitution, and frankly, I think that's why I'm a good liberal. I don't want conservative judges making up stuff that's not in the Constitution and telling me what's in it. And I'm going to read a little bit more about it later. I do want to give Tony from Chicago a chance to finish up. I had to cut him off for a break. Tony, was there something more you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was just saying that the Constitution is only as good as those people that operate it, you know. Ultimately, money can get to the point where it can overcome any Constitution.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's only as good as the people that are there, but one of the points of the checks and balances in the Constitution is not that people are all good and perfect, but that people would, as Madison wrote, would jealously guard their power against others, and because everyone's watching everyone, the Congress, the President, the Supreme Court, the state governments, and so forth, and everyone has a role to play, they all sort of keep each other honest. And that's if it's done right. Now, if they all fail, then you're
because I mean there's many tools in the Constitution that can fix a quarter of the problems we got overnight, but it's not used.
You're right.
It never gets applied.
Well, I think it did recently with health care reform. Again, it didn't go as far as I would like to have seen it go, but this is a case of Congress legislating for the general welfare, and I was glad to see it.
Yeah, I just feel like we're trapped. There's nothing anybody can do. In the end, there's just nothing you can do about it. You're trapped in this system. You know, how do you opt out of this type of system? How do you get out of it and live, you know, how the Constitution wants everybody to live?
What you do, in peace.
You
gather together with your fellow Americans and you vote for people who will defend and protect our rights and freedoms, and to say that the corporations don't have power. You get elect presidents that elect judges. You know, one of the things, Tony, that this crazy five wackos on the Supreme Court said is that that corporations have more rights than American people. Now, that's nowhere in the Constitution. They just made it up. They're judicial activists. They weren't respecting the Texas Constitution.
And now they're considering corporations to be persons.
Right. So how do you change that? You get a president and a Senate to appoint justices. It takes time. But you get those crazy people out of there.
I think if we look at the past and history, because it always repeats itself, this has come and gone. It's not the first time, the first country this is happening to. But if you look at history, everything has to crash and burn. Everything has to collapse in order to come out of it and make it better again. So that's where I'm at the point. It's like, you know what? Let them have their cake. Let them do whatever they want. And when it all crashes and burns, it's going to happen anyway, and then what comes out of the ashes is probably going to be something better for another 30 to 60 years, and then it'll start all over again. It's just never
tell you, Tony,
cycle with mankind.
I hear you, but I'm not the pessimist that you are. We came very close to crashing and burning in the time of the 1930s, and the New Deal came along, and we came up with a better America. I'm not giving up yet. I actually think there's still a lot of good that can be done. You see the negative trend, and you can either say I'm going to fight to stop it, or you can just sort of pessimistically say it's going to happen. I'm going to fight to stop it, and if I fail, at least I died trying. So
I believe it's going to get a little better, but eventually it's going to happen regardless. You know,
I hear you. I guess I'm just an optimist at heart, but I appreciate your call. I really do. Thanks so much.
Have a good night.
You know, Tony does raise a point though. About the Constitution, and that is that the word corporation is not in it. I defy anyone to find the word corporation in the Constitution of the United States. It's not in the Declaration of Independence either. It ain't in there. Does that mean we can't have corporations? No. States can have corporations, but they can also regulate them. They can control them. Corporations are what we call in law a legal fiction. They're a business entity. They're voluntary. You want to form a corporation? Fine. You have to follow the laws of the state of Delaware or Washington or New York or wherever you create the corporation. But they're legal fictions. They don't have any rights other than what the state gives them. They don't have constitutional rights. Why should a corporation have constitutional rights? They're not in the Constitution. I'm a strict constructionist. Now, I realize there are people with wild notions that we can make the Constitution believe whatever we want it to believe. We call them conservatives. And these conservatives say, well, screw the language of the Constitution. I want corporations to have the right to run American elections. So therefore, it's in there. Well, Justice Scalia, where's it in there? Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, Chief Justice Roberts, Justice Kennedy, where does it say corporations are people? It doesn't. It doesn't. I'm a strict constructionist. I'm a liberal. Now, do you think that any Republican who read the Constitution today realized that corporations weren't people? I know the Supreme Court said they were. I'm telling you the Supreme Court is wrong. Because I'm an American, I can read the Constitution, corporations aren't in here. I'm a strict constructionist. And I think it's time that liberals stop running away from the Constitution, and there's some of them that do. I believe in this document. If you don't like it, If you don't like it, as William Steiner wrote on in the Facebook page, change it. You know, you can amend it. Two-thirds vote of the Congress and three-quarters legislature. It can be changed. But until then, I believe in the rule of law. Corporations aren't there. Let's talk about some more strict construction. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. I'm a liberal. I'm unafraid of the Second Amendment. I'm not afraid to discuss this document. What does the Second Amendment say? You know that. That's the Guns Amendment, right? And if you haven't read the Constitution, you might think that the Second Amendment protects everyone's right to own, I don't know, automatic rifles or guns or anything. Is that what the Second Amendment says? That's what Scalia says it says, and he's a real smart guy. Well, he's a smart guy, but he ignores the Constitution of the United States. He's not a strict constructionist. He's making the stuff up. How do I know? Let's read the text of the Second Amendment. What does it say? Not what it should say, or what you want it to say, or how five men in black robes are going to say that it says. No. What does it actually say? I'm going to read to you the full Second Amendment. Here we go. It's not long. A well-regulated militia, it begins. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now here's what the Second Amendment doesn't say. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It ain't in there. That's not what it says. It's not two separate independent clauses. We need a militia, period, and the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. It is what we call a dependent clause, we grammarians. One modifies the other, and if you read the Federalist Papers, you realize that Madison and Jefferson wanted state militias to be free and independent. They were worried about a national standing army. They didn't want a national standing army. That's why the Constitution says if you have a standing army, it's got to be reappropriated every 2 years. Did you know that's in the Constitution? It's there. Most people don't read it. They wanted to have well-regulated state militias. So because a well-regulated militia is necessary to secure a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, I'm a liberal, and I fully support the right of every state of the United States to have a well-regulated militia. But that doesn't give Joe Crazy a right to own machine guns. Unless he's in a well-regulated militia. And you know what? I don't think a well-regulated militia would allow Joe Crazy to have his machine guns. I'm a strict constructionist. Now, there are people, conservatives, who want to ignore a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure a free state. They want to pretend those words aren't in the Constitution, but I'm a strict constructionist. I am true to the text. Why do they hate the Constitution? Well, they just hate the part that doesn't let them do what they want. They want every American, including the crazy people, to own a gun. Okay. They want that. I'm not saying you can't do that. You can pass a law in your state to allow crazy people to own guns, to allow two-year-olds to own guns. I'm not saying you can't do that, but you're not required to do that. The only people who have a right to keep and bear arms are those in a well-regulated militia. The Constitution says so. You know, conservatives have foisted this craziness that it's liberal judges that aren't following the Constitution. It's conservative judges who aren't following the Constitution. I mean, they say, well, liberals think it's a living, breathing document. It is a living, breathing document. That doesn't mean the words don't have meanings. Let's look at the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Got it? You have a right to be secure in your person. You hear that, women? You hear that, pregnant women? The government cannot force you to do with your own body what you don't want to be done with it. What could that have relevance to? Houses, papers, effects. Well, what about the internet? You can't be protecting the internet. No, this is where I say the Constitution is living and breathing. Effects. If you have the right to be secure in your persons and your papers and your effects, what does that include? That includes things not yet created that would give you the right to privacy, things like the internet. So when George Bush spies on 200 million Americans' internets, he is violating the Constitution of the United States. And why can't all these Tea Partyists, those that claim to love the Constitution, where were they complaining when George Bush spied on 200 million Americans? The Eighth Amendment prohibits cruel and unusual punishments, like torture, perhaps. I believe in this Constitution. Did George Bush, did the Republicans ever complain that George Bush was violating the Eighth Amendment, prohibiting torture? What about the First Amendment? No law respecting the establishment of religion, and yet Republicans supported George Bush's faith-based initiative, allowing the government to decide, oh, well, Baptists will be hired and Catholics won't. That was George Bush's faith-based initiative, allowing government jobs to be funded on the basis of their religion. Well, that's a violation of the First Amendment. All we have to do is read it. I'm glad the Republicans read the Constitution. But I wish they'd actually read it. I wish it wasn't a pro forma session where they just announced a bunch of things. Read what's in there. And you'll find that Congress has the power to provide for the general welfare. That Congress has the power to make all laws necessary and proper. All those people that say health care is unconstitutional, have you read it? Have you read it? When I come back, I want to tell you about a conversation that I personally had with Justice Scalia. I had it when I attended Yale Law School, and there's no better time to argue with a Justice of the Supreme Court than when you're in law school, because when you're a lawyer and you're representing a client, you don't have that kind of freedom. But I argued with Justice Scalia over who was the true strict constructionist, and I'll tell you what happened when we come back.
Put something worthwhile on your iPod or MP3 player. LeslieMarshallShow.com/members.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. I want to tell you in the last few minutes we have about a personal conversation I had with Justice Scalia. And, I got witnesses. There were about 200 people there that day. I was in law school. And Justice Scalia came out to discuss his judicial philosophy. And you know what? I give Scalia credit. I give him credit. I disagree with virtually everything he believes in, but I give him credit for being willing to come out there and confront a group of skeptical law students and to defend his point of view. I respect anyone who comes out before a group and defends their point of view, whether you agree or disagree. Heck, I do it all the time. I go on Fox. You know, I go on shows like Cashing In where there's five against one, five conservatives against me. I respect people that are going. So Scalia was giving his position. And he was explaining how he, not I, was a strict constructionist, he said. And people would ask him questions about the Constitution. And he would riffle through his pocket Constitution and tell us how he believed in literally the language of the Constitution. And people would say, well, okay, I know you believe in the right to bear arms, but what about a nuclear warhead? Surely you don't believe everyone should have a nuclear warhead. And he would riffle through his pocket Constitution, and he would turn to the Second Amendment, and he would say, a well-regulated militia may necessarily secure a free state. The right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And he said, bear, that comes from the Latin for whatever it was. What does bear mean? Bear means to carry. Can you carry a gun? You can. Can you carry a nuclear warhead? You can't. Next question. Everybody laughed. All right. He's looking at this thing literally. So he claims. Of course, you can bear PETN, that explosive that the underwear bomber used and Richard Reed used. But let's leave that aside for now. Justice Scalia says that he is literally following the language of the Constitution. So I turned in my Constitution to the Ninth Amendment. I said, Justice Scalia, how does the Ninth Amendment restrain you? What does the Ninth Amendment say? It says the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That's what the Ninth Amendment says. One of my favorites, by the way. And Scalia said, constrain me? No, not at all, not at all, not at all. It's merely precatory, which is a nice fancy legal word to say. It's advisory. It's a suggestion. It's something you should try to live by. But it has no real force. Scalia's really big about saying that language in the Constitution has no real force. I happen to believe every word has meaning. And I said so. I said, well, Justice Scalia, not only do I believe every word has meaning, but this was an amendment. This wasn't in the original. Surely the people who amended the Constitution and the Bill of Rights thought they were changing something, thought they were adding something, thought that they were doing something. Are you telling me they passed the whole amendment, two-thirds of both houses of Congress, three-quarters of state legislatures, and they accomplished nothing? He whipped out his Constitution. He said, look, the other amendments are mandatory. He said, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law establishing respecting the establishment of religion. Amendment 2, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Number 3, no soldier shall be quartered in your home. Shall. He said, well, now I'll read the 9th Amendment. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed. I said, shall! I interrupted him. It's fun to interrupt the Supreme Court justice. I said, shall! It's mandatory. He said, wait, let me finish. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. He said, what does that mean? It just means legislatures, be careful, don't deny rights retained by the people. I said, Justice Scalia, and there's 200 people listening, and I had a lot of people cheering me on. I said, Justice Scalia, I am not the constitutional scholar that you are. But the Constitution says shall not be construed. I'm not the Latin scholar you are. That's what I said. I'm not the Latin scholar you are. Construed. What does construe mean? What is construe? It means to interpret. Legislatures don't construe laws. They don't interpret laws. They make laws. They amend laws. They repeal laws. They say what the law is. But who interprets the law? That's the courts. It's not the province of the courts in Marbury versus Madison, the greatest case you always study in law school, to interpret the law, to construe the law? Is this not indeed a restriction on you, Justice Scalia? You're the construer, not the legislature. He said, okay, well, fine. Interesting, he conceded my point after saying it's different. He said, but what could be the rights retained by the people? What could that mean? That doesn't mean anything. I said, well, the founders thought it meant something. Wouldn't it be, for example, in the English common law, a man's home is his castle, the right to privacy, which existed in the English common law, would that not be a right retained by the people? And aren't you restricted from interpreting the law to deny or disparage these rights retained by the people? And he said, you've asked enough questions. Let me move on to somebody else. And I got a standing ovation from the crowd. And it's one of the best legal arguments of my life. I had shown that Justice Scalia was not a strict constructionist. He doesn't abide by the strict language of the Constitution. He interprets it as he likes, as do many judges. And I say that's wrong. We Americans need to reclaim the Constitution. We liberals need to reclaim the Constitution. It's not a bad thing. It had some bad things in it. Free Fist Clause and slavery and all kinds of stuff, but those have been rooted out. We need to defend things like the 14th Amendment to the Constitution that says that everyone born in this country is a citizen, and that's important. We don't want people to be born as second-class citizens, but if you don't like it, if you don't agree with it, amend it. But don't complain about it. If you don't like it, well, you can complain about it, but amend it. Don't say it's not in there when it is. You have conservatives saying that despite the fact that the 14th Amendment says that anyone born in the United States is a citizen of the United States, they say it doesn't mean what it says. Respect the Constitution. If conservatives would only respect the Constitution the way liberals do, we could have a more perfect union. So good for the House of Representatives for reading the Constitution. Now I hope they actually follow the Constitution, not just by putting it in every bill, and by the way, it's in every bill anyway, it's in every committee report, but in actually following the language. This is Mark Levine. If you enjoyed the show today, please check out my website. Go to marklevineradio.com. You can see me argue with all kinds of conservatives. You can hear the Inside Scoop radio show. I always enjoy filling in for Leslie. I hope you enjoyed the show today. This is Mark Levine saying good night, and I'll see you next time.